I will say this, it's been grateful for me to be here and again, have my family here with me. I got a chance to share with the KCs a little bit, and as much as I love this group, I'm doubling down on the next generation because my kids need leaders that have a foundation in Jesus. And so it's really cool for me just to see those that are loving on my kids while we've been in here. It is a special time for me, too. This is the first time I've spoken at a family camp. I was a little nervous when you said, well, you speak at family camp, and I'd never done that before, but I also realized when I preach on Sunday mornings at Hope, it's basically family camp. So that kind of helped ease things as I thought about how to prepare for this time. And just appreciate the encouragement, just hearing from many of you, just saying that the messages are landing and leaving you with some awe and wonder and some questions that you're going to lean into. Tonight, I just want to talk about more, what does it look like to have a foundation in Jesus? And this is a passage I shared with the KCs. But after Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he says in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." But he goes on, he says, "But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who builds their house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." What's interesting about that is that the storm hit from every direction. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. The only difference was the foundation. You can have a foundation on the rock that can weather the storm, or you can have a foundation on sand, and everything can crumble. But the thing about a foundation, you can't trust a foundation that can't be tested. I'll say it again, you can't trust a foundation that can't be tested. So my question is, what storms have gone in on your life? And sometimes it's a gentle rainstorm, and sometimes it's something that's hitting from every direction. Just think about something that we all experienced 3 years ago. Around this time, people had the flu, right? We found out it was something greater than that, something bigger than that. What kind of storm hit you in 2020? Because that year, 2020, my foundation got tested. And this is how I know that my faith is real. Because in 2020, I lost my brother to sudden cardiac arrest, August 8th. It was a Saturday morning. And I just remember getting a phone call that my brother had collapsed and he was playing pickleball in Richfield. And that no one had done CPR. And later on, we got another phone call that said he had passed. And I just remember the storm hitting from every single direction. And in that moment, I couldn't say, well, at least I still have a nice house. I couldn't say, at least I still have a job that I enjoy and love. Those two things are great, but those could not be my foundation. I had to lean on Jesus and say, I don't even know what this means for my life in the future. I can't even focus on my future, but I know that you are the King of Kings yesterday on August 7th, and you are the King of Kings today, August 8th. I don't know how that's going to work. And I was broken. It didn't mean that I didn't feel the pain. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I clung to that passage knowing that if I just understand that Jesus understands pain, that he came in the mess, that he entered in the mess. So I just want you to consider, what is your foundation? Because when it's Jesus, you can weather the storms of your life. And that's the reason I do what I do, because I want kids to understand that before the storm hits, you can put your faith in Jesus. You don't have to go to the glove box, Jesus, and go to him only when you need him. And so this is what I hope that you walk away with. What does it really look like for me? Just make it personal to put your foundation in Jesus alone, not Jesus and your career, not Jesus and the things you own. Because the question is this: if you take away the identity that you've put in other than Jesus, what do you have left? You know, it's puzzling. It was puzzling for me in that moment to walk through that. I remember the Lord gave me this image. Like in hard times, I'm like, Lord, give me a phrase or an image. And he gave me this image of this old, rusty metal chair. I just want you to picture this old, rusty metal folding chair. And this was the day my brother died. And I remember it was raining. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you're a chair? What is this? And I just heard this, come and sit. And so I want to just put this before you. And it's something that I'm just going to call it sing in the storm. Everyone say sing.
Sing.
Sing in the storm. And I saw this metal chair and the Lord said, sit. Sit wherever the storm takes you. And I remember sitting in this chair in my mind being angry. And I remember sitting in this chair just feeling like I didn't know what was going on. I was confused. And then I remember walking through my living room and I saw a picture of my brother's wedding, which I got to officiate. And I started smiling and I was laughing, just remembering those days. And then I remember taking myself out of that moment saying, but he's gone. And sitting in joy wasn't an option for me, but I realized Jesus said, hey, come sit and just remember where the storm takes you. Remember, sit in the joy. But here's the thing with this metal rusty chair. It's great to rest in, but it's not a couch. Don't stay there. So the first step of dealing with the storm is to sit wherever the storm takes you. I sing, S-I, invite Jesus in. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know that you're in my boat. Can you please show me your presence? And then I also means invite others in. Because sometimes Jesus works through other people. The day my brother passed, I called one of my mentors. Because I knew that he had lost his younger brother. And he had posted it on Facebook. And I just remember processing it with him. And I called him. I said, Sam, I just found out my brother died. And all he had to say was, I know how it feels. I'm with you. And in that moment, as the pain was still there, there was some peace to know that I wasn't alone. So sit wherever the storm takes you. I invite Jesus in, invite others in. And N is name what you lost. Name the pain that you have, because sometimes instead of naming it, we bury it. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We need to name what we lost, name our pain, and give it to him. Because when we don't do that, then we're just bottling it up. And when I asked you this morning to be courageous and write that down, I'm sure some of you felt differently about writing this identity and putting it on a post-it note and seeing it. There's some freedom in actually naming it and putting it out there. So N is name what you lost and give it to the healer. Give it to the one that can hold it. And G is to go. Keep moving forward. Keep growing. And so that acronym and that image sat with me in the biggest storm of my life. And it helped me process the other things that I've just bottled up inside and that I hid. Things like having a miscarriage. And things like the stillbirth that my wife and I walked through. Because instead of naming it, I just buried it. And I just remember the freedom that I had knowing that it's not about being painless and perfect. It's about being present with a king that knows what the mess looks like and feels like. And so the storm is really something that has helped me grow. And if you understand that pain is the precursor to change, what we have to do is just have a healthy relationship with pain and steward it well. One of the things that I've learned over time, just being open about my experience, is that it frees other people up. So I want you to consider, what stories do you have that you've been holding too tightly that God wants to use you to free others up. Like Kat shared her story this morning, and I'm sure that there are other people in the room that said, wow, if she can do it, I can too. I don't have to hold this by myself. And you don't have to be a polished speaker. You just have to tell a story. And in our small group, we had this conversation like, sometimes I feel like I don't know enough. People cannot argue with a transformed life. All you need to know is how your story and how your life has been changed by Jesus. And all you got to do is tell your story. And so I don't want you to overthink what you have to do. You just have to be present with him and allow him to shape you. So sit wherever the storm takes you. Invite Jesus in, name what you lost, and go and move forward, trusting that there will be purpose in the pain. Now I'll end with just one last story about how it came full circle to me. Almost a year and a half after my brother passed, the kids in the community knew and had heard my story. And one of our students was at school in Richfield. And you might have seen it on the news, but there was a shooting outside of school in Richfield. And there was chatter on text messages saying, oh, I heard it's Jamari. And I'm like, no, he doesn't go to school there. It wasn't him. I saw him this morning when I was driving on Portland. He was walking. I'm like, it's not him. And then it kept going around, and I called Jamari, and he wouldn't answer his phone. And I was texting him, hey, man, just get back to me. I find out that Jamari had gotten kicked out of school on Friday, and he was now at this new school, South Education Center. First day of school, he was shot and killed. And I just remember processing that with a lot of our students and a whole community and his close friend group. And I remember they had a memorial service, and I walked up to his whole friend group and I just said, I know what it's like to lose someone without being able to say goodbye. I know what it's like to be confused and in pain, and I'm here with you. I know. And each one of these young guys just looked at me. We hugged each other, and they just said, we know that you know. The thing is, sometimes you don't have to say anything at all. All you have to do is be present in the pain. And I'm not doing anything revolutionary. I'm just doing what the King of Kings did when he was born in a manger, saying, I'm entering into the mess. I'm leaving on a cross, so you know that there's nothing that I'm afraid of and there's nothing that I can't handle. And so take that as an encouragement that the things that you have in your life that God wants you to steward isn't just your material things. He wants you to steward your story. He wants you to steward your pain and give it back to him and watch what he does with it. Watch what he wants to do with your life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all of the stories in this room. All of the ways that you have been faithful to each person in this room. I pray that you bring to mind right now something that has happened in each person's story in this room so that they can recall it and give them the courage to retell it. God, you are good to us. Remind us that you are for us, that you want to move us, but more than that, you want to move through us. So, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this community, this family, and may you give us the courage to be the light to someone else when we go home. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.